Conference Presidents and Counselors. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia, August 1896. Conference Presidents and Counselors. God gave to Moses special directions for the management of his work. He directed Moses to associate men with him as counselors, that his burdens might be lightened. Through Jethro, the message was given, "Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way in which they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people also shall go to their place in peace." Exodus 18, verse 22-23. This counsel is for us. It should be heeded by our responsible men. The president of our general conference has been left to gather to himself burdens which God has not laid upon him, and the things that he has tried to do could not be done wisely and well. The men he has connected with himself have been, in character and principle, entirely the opposite of that which the Lord has specified. Many of the presidents of the several conferences do not answer the measurement of God. The awakening power of God, the molding influence of the Holy Spirit, is needed by all who in any way bear responsibilities in the Lord's work. Without this, they are unfit for the work and should be dismissed. If they have not understood their work and the qualifications essential, it is vain to expect that they will do in the future that clear, decided, forcible work which God requires. Please notice Exodus 18, verse 16. Moses said, "When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." This work is still to be done. And if the men who now bear responsibilities will not do it, then it must be committed to others. The Lord's work must be carried forward without guile, hypocrisy, or covetousness. In his instruction to Moses, the Lord very plainly set forth the character of those who were to fill important positions as counselors. They are to be able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, verse 21. The Lord's counsel has been strangely neglected. There are men in places of holy trust who, when reproved, have cared naught for it. Some who for years have stood as counselors have boldly stated that they would not receive the testimonies given. In triumph, they have declared that many of our most responsible men have lost faith in the messages coming from Sister White. Thus, the rejectors of light have been strengthened in their unbelief, feeling that they had quite a strong confederacy. Men who have had the light have walked contrary to the light. These words are appropriate. Truth has fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. Isaiah 59, verse 14. The malaria of unbelief has been diffusing its deathly atmosphere throughout the ranks, nigh and afar off. All this has been stated plainly, yet for years matters have been left unchanged. Can the Lord's favor be expected under such circumstances? Spirit of the world. The line of demarcation between the professed, commandment-keeping people of God and the world is not as distinct as it once was. Those who were walking in harmony with God will not be found taking part in political gatherings. Those who do this give evidence that they are not faithful servants of Jesus. They have handled common fare so long that their discernment is lost. There is a people who have enlisted to stand under the banner of Jesus. They are Christ's army. They have pledged themselves to come out from the world and be separate. They have pledged themselves to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to make aggressive warfare against sin and all iniquity. We are to show our loyalty to our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle James declares, "Whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." James 4, verse 4. And the beloved John, the disciple most like Jesus, has given the warning, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." 1 John 2, verse 15. No man will find happiness in following the example of Adam and wandering from his Maker.
I have been deeply impressed with the necessity of seeking to bring about decided reformation in families. A great work needs to be done for individual members of families, and then it will surely extend to the church. Our homes must be made a Bethel, our hearts a shrine. Wherever the love of God is cherished in the soul, there will be peace, there will be light and joy. Spread out the word of God before your families in love, and ask, "What hath God spoken?" Oh, that God could now commend the principles of his people, as he commended Abraham, the father of the faithful, because he cultivated home religion. It is God that speaks. He declares that there will be no betraying of the truth on the part of Abraham, no yielding to any guide but one. God has a law, and Abraham will keep it. He is answerable to the lawgiver. He will not act on any man's convictions. He will control his household after him. He will not allow indulgence in wrong principles, which is the veriest cruelty. The Holy One has given rules for the guidance of all. None can be guiltless in departing from these rules. Nothing can excuse any course in which the principles of justice and judgment shall not be made paramount. Study God's methods. As a people, we should study God's plans for conducting his work. Wherever he has given directions in regard to any point, we should carefully consider how to regard his expressed will. This work should have special attention. It is not wise to choose one man as president of the General Conference. The work of the General Conference has extended, and some things have been made unnecessarily complicated. A want of discernment has been shown. There should be a division of the field, or some other plan should be devised to change the present order of things. Instead of advancing the work themselves, insufficient workers have cast their responsibilities on the president of the General Conference. Thus, burdens that were altogether too heavy have been brought upon one man. And if that one man's mind becomes warped or clouded in any way, then a wrong mold is given to the work. It may be urged that there is a General Conference committee, and each of our institutions has a board of directors, and they will carry the burden. But if one or more of these men are leavened with a spirit that God cannot favor, and yet they are retained in the work, they will leaven the president of the conference. If he is in any way dull of comprehension, if he for any cause permits his staunch, faithful workers, men who are true to principle, to leave him, the cause of God is imperiled. In the councils, some members have introduced principles which God has condemned. When opposed in their suggestions and devisings, they resented it. Those who would not second the propositions made were not wanted, although it was their duty to be present and to share in the deliberations and decisions. But their presence was disagreeable to the men who wished to carry things their own way. The president of the General Conference should have the privilege of deciding who shall stand by his side as counselors. Those who will keep the way of the Lord, who will preserve clear, sharp discernment by cultivating home religion, are safe counselors. Of such a one, the searcher of hearts saith, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. Genesis 18, verse 19. Counselors of the character that God chose for Moses are needed by the president of the General Conference. It was the privilege of Elder Olson, at least, to express his preferences as to the men who should be his counselors. It was his privilege to discern between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. But a strange blindness was upon him. There has been a leavening influence upon human minds, and it has been most painful. For years God has been dishonored. Unless he walks in the light of life, the president of the General Conference will make many mistakes. He will continue to do as he has done in the past, in heeding the calls made for his presence in the several conferences, and will absorb means in taking with him men who, he knows, do not appreciate the work for this time. Men who do not walk with God. Men who refuse to accept the testimonies the Lord has graciously given them, and who have slighted and rejected the Holy Spirit. To all appearance, he has honored them as he should honor faithful men of superior judgment. In this he has dishonored God, and left upon the churches an influence that has confused and perplexed them. God speaks to him, saying, Them that honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30.
Brother Olson's example has done much to unsettle the confidence of conference presidents in the testimonies, for he himself has walked directly contrary to the light which the Lord has given. He has honored men whom God does not honor. There are men who have been and are still connected with the councils at Battle Creek who need a thorough conversion, else they can never enter the kingdom of heaven. Self, self, self is exhibited in every line of their work, and God is greatly dishonored by being misrepresented in character. And yet men in positions of trust have been and are being educated to submit all their plans to the counselors at Battle Creek, to be pronounced upon, approved or disapproved by men. How long shall this departure from the Lord's arrangement continue? Men have such a burning desire to stretch themselves beyond their measure. They wish to be regarded as authority on all things relative to the work of God in all parts of the world. But this is not God's plan. The men who compose the councils at Battle Creek have for years been very defective in character. Their own spirit and judgment have leavened the plans and recommendations presented to the workers in different fields. If the people are so blinded that they cannot discern this, God sees it, and it is an offense to him. I have the word of the Lord for presidents of conferences. They should shoulder the responsibilities involved in the trusts reposed in them. In your work, do not try to meet a human standard, but the standard of God's word. If you will not do this, if you will not seek the Lord most earnestly, if you will not be burden bearers, but choose to lay your whole weight of responsibilities upon the president of the General Conference, then week by week, month by month, you are disqualifying yourselves for the work. You should leave it and engage in common business transactions, which do not so decidedly involve eternal responsibilities. Presidents of conferences, I appeal to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55, verse 6, 7. You are to be self-denying missionaries, men of thought, men who will pray for divine enlightenment and who will be faithful and true to responsibilities. Sit at the feet of Jesus and learn His will. There must be zealous activity on your part. Teach not your ideas, your plans, your notions, your maxims, but teach the word of the Lord. Your weekly seasons of prayer will not qualify any one of you for your great and solemn responsibility if, after these seasons, you feel that your duty is done and, having looked into the great moral looking glass, you go away and forget what manner of man you were. It is not merely one day of special service that will suffice for the soul's need. You must be constantly coming to the storehouse to feed on the flesh and blood of the Son of God. Religion is not to be cheapened in 1896 or 1897. Those who are partakers of the divine nature are to come out from worldly influences, from empty festivities, and sit down with Christ in heart communion with their Redeemer. Cease your unbelieving worry. When the anxious disciples saw the hungry multitude beside the sea, impossibilities arose in their minds, and they questioned, "Shall we go to the villages and buy to give to them?" Just so, in the several conferences, many now ask, "Shall we send to Battle Creek for someone to come and hold meetings with us and revive us and feed us?" What said Christ? No. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass in companies of 50 and 100. They obeyed orders, seating themselves in long lines on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes out of the hands of the lad and, looking up to his Father, he asked his blessing upon the meager supply. Then he put into the hands of the disciples the food to be distributed. The scanty provisions grew under the hand of Christ, and he had constantly a fresh supply for his servants to distribute to the hungry multitude until all had a sufficiency. Then the word came, "Gather up the fragments, that nothing be lost." John 6, verse 12. There was a surplus of food to be gathered up.
This is a lesson to all in their spiritual experience. What an amount of worry would be saved if men would only trust in God. The bread of life is to be given to needy souls, and what a work is often made of the matter. There are long councils for devising plans, inventing new methods. There is a constant effort to get up entertainments to draw people to the church or the Sabbath school. Like the disciples, the workers raise the question, "Shall we go unto the villages and buy?" What is the work to be done? Come unto Jesus. Humble faith and prayer will accomplish very much more than your long counsels. Listen to the Saviour's invitation. Put your neck under His yoke. Accept His burdens. Receive that which He bestows. He says, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 30. This anticipation of terrible difficulties need not be. We must eat and drink the word of life, which is represented as eating and drinking of the flesh and blood of Christ. Those who know the truth must be educated, to receive it from their own shepherds, and pray over it, and practice it. Then souls will grow in faith and in intelligent knowledge. They would receive the bread of life and digest it. "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." Psalm 119, verse 130. The truth needs to enter into heart and mind. More, much more, praying and less long sermonizing will be for the health of body and soul. Money has been expended in sending men to Jerusalem to see the place where Jesus traveled and taught. When we have the precious Savior nigh us, His presence with us, and we may have a Jerusalem in our own houses and in the churches. We can discern His fresh footsteps. We can eat His words and have eternal life. We need more study,
more earnest meditation and communion with Christ. We need to listen for the still, small voice and to rest by faith in the love of Christ. We should then have a much more healthful experience and become much more vigorous Christians. We have a superabundance of sermons, but we need to learn to receive the word. All the help from abroad cannot supply this deficiency. The home missionary work must be entered into by home missionaries. God is not pleased with the selfish devising to give so many advantages to those who know the truth, who have had opportunities to understand far more of the truth than they practice. Thousands upon thousands are in ignorance, perishing out of Christ. Yet money and time and labor are devoted to the class who are ever learning, yet never able to come to the experimental knowledge of the truth, because they will not practice the truth. Those who are ready to do service are those who feed most on Christ. Read and study His Word. Drink in the inspiration of His Spirit and receive of His grace, not to hoard, but to give to others. In order to instruct others, the teachers must first be learners of Christ. There are Marthas in every church. They are intensely busy in religious activities, and they do much good. But we need also Mary's side of the character. The most zealous workers need to learn at the feet of Jesus.